Would you please turn to Matthew chapter 16? Matthew chapter 16. Matthew's gospel. Matthew, the ex-IRS agent. Who would take an IRS agent and make him a disciple of Jesus Christ? Are you kidding? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise God. The title of this message is called The Keys. The Keys. I want to share this with you. I have such an urgency in my heart that the Lord has put there for the last several months, and a mandate from the Lord for me, and that is to get our church ready for these times, these days, and what's happening, and the volume of changes that are happening before us in the reforming of our country. We have to be prepared. We cannot sit back and go on as disciples of Jesus Christ. We cannot go on with the same mentality and the same thinking and the same understanding of everything is going to be fine and wonderful and we can not get too serious about anything. We cannot have that anymore. And my heart, as we go on for a time, the Lord's given me some real specifics to help you get prepared for what's coming. I want you to understand that this is real. You can't blow this off. What is happening in our country and happening in our lives and happening around us everywhere is a, this is the new normal. And it isn't normal. It isn't normal for where we were. And it's not going to be like this either. There's more coming. I had shared between 2 and 3 months ago on the videos that we were doing. By the way, we're going to start doing videos again midweek. That what the Lord spoke to me, and I will tell you that I operate in the prophetic too. And I'm real careful. But what the Lord said to me was, the attacks are going to continue against the presidency, against the economy, and against the church. They are going to continue for a while. And then they're going to ease up. And things are going to go back into a little bit of a lull. And we may be in a little bit of that lull right now. And there's going to be a temptation to get comfortable and get secure and kind of complacent, relaxed. It's during that lull that it is time to get prepared ourselves spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically prepared for these last days. Because after the lull, it's going to hit the fan. This is what's coming. I don't say this to scare anybody or to make you feel like, oh gosh, what a doom and gloomer. Man, these are not the messages that I like preaching. But I, as the pastor, as the lead pastor, have orders from my head to help you get ready so that we are not caught unaware. But we are ready, okay? I want you to know that that is a part of what I'm going to be doing coming up here, or continuing, I guess, really, to get you ready. The grace of God to you has not changed. The blessings have not changed. God is bigger. Jesus is bigger. What he's paid for has not changed. The world is changing around us, but the Lord hasn't changed. What he has for you and I hasn't changed. But in his grace, he wants us ready for what's coming and not to be caught unaware. Okay? So I want you to know there's stuff coming. I'm going to do everything I can do to help us all get ready. We are to live in victory. Amen? And we will. Hallelujah. All right, the title of this message is The Keys. With the world around us becoming more and more toxic, and in this overflow that is all around us, this is from a seducing spirit called the spirit of Antichrist, seducing people to believe the lies, to believe the destructive and heretical things that are being brought to the forefront, to manipulate people to do things that never would have happened before. This is a toxic world, and it is, again, a part of the reforming of our country. There's times when Rosie and I have, actually, she came to me the other day and said, I just feel like weeping. I said, why, honey? She said, I'm grieving for our country. You know, I'm not surprised. Both of us have felt like that. We have to remember, we are citizens of the kingdom of God first. First and foremost. You cannot forget this. No matter what the onslaught is out there, we cannot forget who we are. In reality, we cannot forget. We can't lose sight of that. Okay? Isaiah 59, verse 19. Isaiah 59, verse 19 says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Now, in the Hebrew, this is what this means. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a means to challenge and charge against him. You take this through the cross, and it means when the enemy comes in like a flood, we're seeing a flood everywhere, of ungodliness and hatred and division and debauchery, and you name it. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord, in the Greek, is will. You run it through the cross, has. This is for right now. Has already lifted up a standard, a means to challenge and charge against him. That standard is Jesus Christ and what he accomplished by his death, burial, and resurrection for us. That's the standard against the onslaught, the toxicity, the evil, and the flood that is out there now. Anybody feeling overwhelmed by all this stuff? You raise your hands, that's okay. Can you be real? Let's call this real church, okay? If you are aware of what's going on, and please understand that the news media, I saw something, somebody said, the news media is the virus, and it's true. Listen, if you believe the news, number one, everything is horrible. Everything. And everything is focused on New York and California. There's 48 other states. But we're being directed to look, to listen to believe, to trust in what the news media says to us. So if you're focused on the news, stop focusing on the news and start focusing on the good news. Start focusing on the Word. If you don't pry yourself away from that stuff, you're going to be taken in. All right? Because remember, you're citizens of the kingdom of God first, before you are citizens of the United States. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord has lifted up a standard. His name is Jesus Christ. And given us a means to challenge and charge against him, against the enemy and all his works. Matthew chapter 16. I'm going to tag off of Rosie's message from last week and open it up just a little bit more, because there's so much in this. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. Jesus has taken his disciples to Caesarea Philippi. It was an ungodly place. Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Now he's speaking to all of his disciples, not just the 12. He had a lot of disciples following him. He had the 12, and then he had other disciples. "Who do men say that I am?" So some said, "A prophet." Some said, "John the Baptist." Now, these were the ones that didn't know him. These are his disciples. They didn't know him. And that's a reality. That's why it is so important as a disciple of Jesus Christ that we absolutely know him. Then he says, "Well, who do you, disciples, say that I am?" So Peter, out of all the disciples there, steps in and says, "You are the Christ." Now, Christ in the Greek means the anointed one, the Messiah, the Savior that we've been waiting for. Do you have any idea what a statement that was for a Jew to say that? "You." He just looks like me. "You are the Savior of the world. You are the Messiah we've been waiting for. You are the King of Israel. You are the Son of the living God." Huge statement. Huge revelation. Huge understanding. Peter knew him. Here's a contrast between the two people, the two disciples, two types of disciples, the ones that didn't know him and the ones that did, like Peter. Jesus healed the sick, raised the dead, cast out devils, fed thousands of people, taught the Word of God with an authority never experienced before in any synagogue. Reached and touched people in a way that changed their hearts, changed their lives, brought grace and truth to them in a way that the law could not, or the legal beagles, the legal Pharisees and Sadducees could not do. Now, Jesus says to Peter, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Peter's heart was open to the reality of Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior. This wasn't some acknowledgement, some mental assent. This was a reality of what he believed. And Jesus said, And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Oh, isn't that nice? That's a nice thing to say. Here's what's in that statement. There are 4 points. Number one, on this rock, I will build my church. I don't know where this heresy came from that Peter was the rock. It's a heresy. Peter's not the rock. Okay? When Jesus said, on this rock, I will build my church, you have to picture, here's Jesus and his disciples, and they're on a kind of an overlook here, looking down at the gates of hell, and every form of filthy, perverted, Rosie sanitized this, every filthy, perverted, disgusting sexual act that you can ever, I mean, don't even imagine, but ever see was being performed there openly. Here's Jesus and his disciples. Here's the gates of hell at Caesarea Philippi. Babies and young children were being openly murdered for sacrifice to a demon god. People were mutilating themselves. There was hostility, kind of like what we have today. Anger. Fear. And it goes on and on and on. And in these, at this gate of hell, or these gates of hell, Jesus said, who do you say I am, to Peter? He's looking at Caesarea Philippi and the gates of hell, and he's looking at Jesus, who, he's a man. Who do you say I am? And Jesus is saying, here's the contrast. When he acknowledged Jesus Christ as the Son of the living God and as the Savior of the world, the Messiah, the Anointed One, he said, you are the answer. No matter what I see over here, no matter what's going on, no matter how debauched it is, no matter how bad it is, how they're trying to appease a demon god to get them out of the penalties of whatever they've done, the consequences, or to bring money, prosperity to them, or to bring health to them, or they're trying to gain some kind of favor through all of this stuff, twisted stuff. Peter's looking at Jesus. I mean, he had to be looking at Jesus and looking at this and looking at Jesus and looking at this. You are the Messiah, and I know it. That's how big this was. And on this rock, this, verse 13, this revelation, on this understanding and this knowledge, under this aspect of what has now been planted in your heart and you believe it by faith, not just because of the miracles that you've seen, but you understand that I am he who was prophesied to come to take away, bear on me the sin of the world. Compared with that, that was huge. Now, on this rock I will build my church. In the Greek, build means to construct. Construct means from the ground up. It means you build a foundation and you build a structure and you cover the structure and you finish the building. It means to construct. I will construct my church. Church in the Greek means the called out ones. The called out ones are those called out from the gates of hell. the called out ones, called out from the bondage of sin and everything that comes with it, the called out ones who have been in darkness, the called out ones who have been delivered from the lies, the captivity, the eternal death, the called out ones called out into my kingdom. On this rock, I will build and construct my called out ones from the heart. It's not the building. Never has been. It is the church. The called out ones. You're the called out ones. We are the called out ones. And then, point number two. He says, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, first of all, he says gates, plural. Now, at Caesarea Philippi, there was an example. It was a type of, but there was one gate with a whole lot of mess, a lot of captive people to this demon god and this lie. He said gates, plural, as in many. He said the gates of hell, and please understand this, hell is real. Don't think hell is not real. Heaven is real. Hallelujah. I don't have time to go into this right now, but I will coming up. Hell is real too. And hell in the Greek is described as, and I'm not going to go into the whole thing, but a place that is dark, no light, torment, eternal, for the evil. That's it. For the evil people. Now, it's a place of horror that you can't imagine, where evil will live eternally. He said, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. The gates of hell, what makes a gate strong? I mean, what makes a gate? A gate, the strength of a gate, Old Testament, was based on what it was built out of, whether it was wood or bronze or iron or a combination of everything. A gate's strength was based on what it was built out of. And a gate's design was made to either keep people in or keep people out, one or the other. That was the purpose of a gate. So the gates of hell will not prevail, or not be, in the Greek, superior in strength to the church. That's the reality. Now remember, they're still looking, the disciples are up here looking at the gates of hell at Caesarea Philippi, and they're looking at Jesus going, oh. You think there was any wavering going on there? Sure there was. He's just one guy. He looks like a man. He was a man. He was a son of man. He emptied himself of God to do this. But by faith, after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus and the victory, Jesus said, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. See, in Caesarea Philippi, these people at the gates of hell had no hope, had no future. They had no recourse. They had nothing. No peace, no depth of life, no eternity. The gates of hell exist right now, today, still, all around us. But here's what they are. Because that was the picture then, and it's the same picture now. Every life, every human being trapped in sin, doesn't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, trapped in, well, I don't know, do I have to go through the list of all that's going on now today? Let's just call it all sin. Every human life is in bondage or captured by a gate of hell. Every single one. All around us, at work, at home maybe, extended families, friends, neighbors. You don't even have to go to the arena of the political realm. Every single person not knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior is trapped in the gates of hell. So Jesus, next point, says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. First of all, I will give you. This is after the cross. It becomes, I have given you. And keys are plural of the kingdom of heaven. So here's, hence the name of the message, the title of the message, the keys. What are the keys? What are the keys? Now, keys, when you read any Bible commentary, signify authority. But I'm going to tell you that the commentaries don't typically go into the background and the context and the understanding of this. The keys are the message of the gospel. They're the component parts of the gospel message. I want you to see that the keys of the kingdom of heaven, keys plural, are all the aspects of the gospel message on a key ring. We get the key ring full of keys. The key ring is the gospel message with all its component parts that unlock the gates of hell and free the lives of people, and they become the called out ones. The keys of the kingdom of heaven are a key ring of authority, of stewardship, and of power. The kingdom of God and reaching people for the kingdom is our purpose. Then Jesus says, whatever you bind on earth, fourth point, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And I would encourage you, studiers, to go to the Amplified and read the scripture. Because the way that it's written in the King James and the New King James isn't really clear. You understand it when you study it, but this is what it means. You can bind and loose what was done in heaven according to what is already done in heaven. We bind condemnation, penalty, judgment that comes from captivity through sin in a life that has been bound to the devil, bound in the gates of hell, through the sacrifice of Jesus for everybody. Or we loose freedom and righteousness and the benefits that come with God's grace and love, blessings. Somebody, when we share the message or the keys of the kingdom through the gospel message with people, we can loose their lives and we can bind the condemnation and the penalties that came through sin. It is all part of the change. There's much more in this, but I want to focus on these two points. For way too long, let me back up. You know this is a grace teaching church, and it always will be. You know where we came from, most of you, and very honored to be from there. And what I want to tell you is, and I've seen this for a lot of years, the temptation with teaching grace and all the aspects that come with God's grace to us, because it's awesome. Everything that comes through salvation, all the benefits, the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him, amen. And they're big, and they're huge, and they're real, and they're tangible by faith. But the temptation is, and I've been there, is to just receive, receive, receive. Listen and receive, receive, receive. And listen and receive, receive, and receive. That is the temptation. We're supposed to do something with what we have. Make sense? Not just sit and receive. But that is a temptation, because God's grace is too good. It's just too good. And you want to sit and receive and receive and receive. But our purpose is to take it and give it away also. Okay? For too long, the called out ones, that's us, I don't mean necessarily here, have hunkered down and stayed home and stayed safe, to coin a phrase. This has been a blind spot in the church, and this is real, okay? Time for the blind spot to be removed. When we do this, when we get this, and I say when, because we will. When we get this, you know, we believe in revival, and we believe in the flow of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the power of God, the manifestation of His presence. We believe in mighty miracles, because we know and we've seen them. But when things of God will really flow, and when the revival really happens and begins to take place, will be when we get this. When we take the keys of the kingdom of heaven, take that gospel message key ring, and begin to unlock the gates of hell for others. That's when we're going to see the greater works. We're going to see the supernatural move in ways we never dreamed. We know we've had people raised from the dead. We've had cancers fall off. And listen, that ain't nothing compared to what's coming. If the church will get this, but I want to say when we get it, all right? The church, our purpose is to go to the gates of hell in the lives around us. That's it. Jesus is our template in His compassion, His mercy, His love, His forgiveness. For too long, the church has been asleep. Everything that's going on right now in this toxic world around us, in the lull that's happening maybe a little bit now and in what's coming when the lull is over, has been a wake-up call. Wake up, called out ones. Wake up. It's time to be the disciples of Jesus Christ that He's called us to be. Grace is God's ability and power to move in things we never dreamed we could do, because it's His ability. Amen. It's time to move. It's time to do. I encourage you to go to that CityQuake conference. That's going to help. For too long, we've thought, I'm there, okay? I've been there. I'm not there now, but I've been there. It's somebody else's job. That's not what I'm called to. It's not just the pastors, or it's just the persons down there. You know, you're called to evangelize. You know, that person over there. I'm called to go to work and financially support the kingdom. Or whatever. Okay? We're all called to do it all. Hate to tell you that. I don't want to burst anybody's bubble. But we're all called to do it all. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Romans 1, verse 16. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, For it is the power of God to salvation. And we all know that salvation in the Greek is soteria. And in that word, soteria, is righteousness and peace and joy and deliverance and healing and prosperity and so much more. For everyone who believes. For the Jew first and for the Gentile. You see, this gift that God brings us through this gospel message has so much in it. In power and authority, in every one of those keys of this gospel message, unlocks lives. I don't know about the rest of you, but it did it for me. When somebody shared the gospel, I used to hate Christians. Get away from me. I would do things to sabotage them. I mean, bad things. And I had one guy that wouldn't, he was relentless. I mean, relentless. And he just loved me. And he demonstrated the love of God, spoke the love of God to me. And it was a key on the key ring of the gospel message that reached my heart. And the gates began to unlock. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. We struggle with the fear of people. The fear of man. Hebrews 13 verse 6 says, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" I mean, in reality, what can man do? Nothing. He can kill you. Send you to heaven, can promote you. I mean, that's the worst thing. Or is it the best? I suppose it depends on your point of view, doesn't it? What can man do to me? The Lord is my helper. We have to remember these things. This is his grace working through us. Here's the fundamental, basic power and authority keys of the gospel key ring. Here they are. I'm just going to run down this list. And please understand, these are fundamentals. This isn't the whole shebang. This is fundamental. This is basic. This is bare bones. And we all have this key ring. All of us do. God loves you unconditionally. Do you want the scripture addresses? Yes or no? Okay, God loves you. John 3:16. God is only good. Mark 10:18. Jesus is the only way. John 14:6. You've been forgiven of every sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Hebrews 9:12. The devil is defeated and has no power. Colossians 2:15. You have eternal life. No judgment, no wrath, no hell. Romans 8, verse 2. You are a new creation, or you become a new creation. A brand new person in him. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. You get to be a child of God. Galatians 3:26. Upon receiving him, he will live in you forever and always be with you. Ephesians 1:13 and Hebrews 13, verse 5. Now, those are the basics on the key ring of the gospel message. You could disciple somebody from these things. You could get somebody born again, lead them into the kingdom, because we don't do it, he does. Lead them into the kingdom and disciple them. And they could take the same things and go reach somebody and disciple them. Again, this is foundational, okay? There's a lot I'm not touching on here. But these are the keys with power and authority to unlock the gates of hell in somebody's life. And we all have it. We all carry the key ring around with us. Everyone. No matter how much you know or don't know, you can take one or several of these scriptures and open it up or just share it with somebody and say, you know, God loves you. God loves you. Second Thessalonians chapter 1. I'm going to read this. Two scriptures. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. Therefore we also pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now Jesus gave us this grand plan. It is not a suggestion. I don't know why, because I'm telling you this is where I have been in my past as a Christian. And I don't even like using the word Christian because Madonna's a Christian, supposedly. All right? I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. For real. And I look at the gates of hell and I look at him and I go, I'm going with him. Jesus said it is not negotiable to not share the gospel. It usually goes over like that. It is not negotiable. It is not a suggestion. If you consider yourself a disciple of Jesus Christ for real and a citizen of the kingdom of God, it is not negotiable to not share the power and the authority of the message of the gospel and deliver people from the gates of hell around us. It is a part of our purpose for the called out ones. Now this isn't to be condemning. This is a reality check for all of us. We're not called to sit. It's great to sit and receive and go to classes and learn and grow and put the word into effect and apply it and see the results and miraculously and see the move of God. And it's great to be where we can worship together and his tangible presence and watch things happen, see things happen and see the moves of God, but it is not negotiable for us not to share the message and the freedom and the blessings and the forgiveness and all the benefits of the gospel message. Okay, how do you do this? Number one, it's important. Pray. Ask the Lord. Now Jesus said the church is to go to the gates of hell, not sit and wait. Okay, not sit in a safe place. Okay, I'm home, I got my doors closed, I got the blinds shut. Lord, send me somebody that I can share the gospel with, that I can just tell them God loves them. Whatever. Go. Get up and go to someone who is bound at the gates of hell. It's time to keep your eyes open and start looking around for somebody. Pray and ask the Lord to send you to somebody. Give me somebody to talk to every day. Number two, be led by the Holy Spirit, not your flesh. Be led by the Holy Spirit. You're full of the Holy Ghost. You've been baptized, most of you, in the Holy Spirit. You've got Him. He's in you. Man, He wants to talk to you, lead you. He wants to work His power through you. Let Him go. Be led by the Holy Spirit, not your reasoning. Share the keys, number three. I read the list of keys. You got all those keys and a whole lot more. Share the keys. Share what you've got. If you don't know it all, just share what you've got. The most basic, brand new disciple of Jesus Christ has still got a packed full key ring in this gospel message. May not know all the addresses of the scriptures. So what? Is it in the Word? Great. Share it. Number four, offer to pray with somebody. Just say, hey, I know Jesus. Can I pray for you? He does big things. Wants to do a big thing in your life. Wow. Number five, expect. Please don't go at this without expecting. This is part of faith. Expect the supernatural to flow. Expect it. Expect it. Be disappointed if you don't see it. Okay? Will you stand with me? If you need prayer today, prayer team's up here, right? To pray for you. Baptism of the Holy Spirit, miracles, healings, signs and wonders, breakthroughs in your life. But as we close, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and say this with me, and don't say it if you don't mean it, all right? Father, Lord Jesus, and Holy Spirit, this is my wake-up call. I haven't fulfilled my purpose the way that I know you want me to. I'm sorry. Now, please send me out. Put people in front of me that I can share your gospel message with. It may not be perfect, but their lives are going to change. And I expect the supernatural to flow. Because I am a citizen of the kingdom of God and the power of God and the word of God is alive in me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Well, listen, have a blessed week, everybody. I'm looking forward to what's happening. Amen? Amen. I love you all.